In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, September 13th, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Christians who suffer persecution in Mexico now have advocacy in the U.S. Congress. For the first time, congressional members, 13 of them, have written to the Mexican Attorney General, Arely Gonzalez, seeking justice for persecuted Christians in Mexico. International Christian Concerns Advocacy Director Isaac Six calls it an encouraging development for Christians. One of the most sadistic of ISIS's executioners was ready to torch 12 poor hostages with his flamethrower. What he did not know was that a mile away, one British Special Service sniper had the terrorist in his sights. A single shot lighted the fuel tank on his back, killing the ISIS butcher and three of his compatriots who were supposed to be filming the execution, according to the UK Daily Star. Ecclesiastes 12:14 reminds us that God will bring every deed into judgment, with every secret thing, whether good or evil. North Korea is known as the worst nation in the world when it comes to persecuting Christ and his people. The Hermit Kingdom threatens the world with nuclear tests, harsh language, and recent missile tests. But now, in the providence of Almighty God, the country has been hit by the worst flooding in 70 years. Tens of thousands of buildings are destroyed, and 140,000 people are in severe distress, according to the Korean Central News Agency. Univision News confirms that the Orlando mass shooter at the homosexual bar was himself a homosexual. The news source interviewed an FBI witness who confirmed that Omar Mateen was, quote, 100% gay, unquote, and he acted out of revenge for the way he was treated by other homosexuals in the Orlando area. Galatians 5:20 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." The Supreme Court of New York State has further depreciated the value of marriage and parenting for child custody cases under the debased and muddled conditions of an unmarried homosexual couple caring for children. The High Court would allow equal rights for the non-biological partner as the biological partner should there be a separation. A year after the Obergefell ruling, national records indicate that 0.3% of marriages in America are attributed to homosexual couples in unnatural relations. The New York Times reports that the highest rates occur in San Francisco, Washington, D.C., New York City, Palm Springs, and Seattle. Progressives in Australia are up in arms over the refusal on the part of the Prime Minister and Parliament to legalize homosexual marriage by parliamentarian action. Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull is pushing for a plebiscite nationwide referendum in February of 2017. Also, the island country of Nauru in the South Pacific has decriminalized homosexuality and abolished the death penalty in a complete rewrite of its criminal code, according to a report from Radio New Zealand. News reports of a new planet discovered just 4.2 light years from the Earth fired up more hopes that there may be extraterrestrial life right next door to us. The planet, known as Proxima B, is visited routinely by powerful flares from its star that would pretty much destroy everything on the planet. Also, scientists in Russia say they have found a star that emits a strange signal some 95 light years away from our Earth. Brian Thomas from the Institute for Creation Research explained to The Worldview why modern man is so anxious to find extraterrestrial life.
If they could find even quote-unquote simple life out there, it would be easier for those who already lean away from God in their thinking to then say, hey, life happened out there, it just came about naturally. And so when you have natural origins instead of supernatural origins, you end up saying to yourself, oh, it's easier now for me to disbelieve God and for me to live the life that I want to live my way apart from God.
News sources are crediting two Good Samaritans with saving a woman's life and her baby's during a carjacking in Shawnee, Kansas. As the woman was placing her baby in the car in a Walmart parking lot, one of the suspects hit her repeatedly on the head. When the first Good Samaritan intervened, he was shot. That was when a second Good Samaritan, who happened to be armed with a weapon, shot the suspect dead. Another suspect fled the scene, and the police are still looking for him. God does expect us to defend the lives of those being attacked. Proverbs 24:11 says, "Deliver those who are drawn toward death, and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter." If you say, "Surely we did not know this," does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? And that's the worldview on this Tuesday, September 13th, in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
And welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, as we come back to the battle for faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. From a Christian world and life view perspective, we're interested in sustaining faith, family, and freedom. All of these things are important values to us. And I know it's odd to speak of freedom issues amongst Christians and in the Christian church today. Freedom is no longer a value amongst many, many Christians and pastors and churches today. But freedom's a great concept. Freedom's important. Freedom is discussed throughout the Gospels. Jesus said, if the Son will make you free, you will be free indeed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul says that if you can be free from the unnecessary servitude of men, use it rather. It's a value worth fighting for. You are bought with a price. Be not the servants of men. So it's something of a value. And that's why I wrote the book Freedom, the History of Western Freedoms and a Biblical Defense for Freedom in the 21st Century, for those who still have something of a desire for this value called freedom. Well, we're hoping for sustaining some freedoms for our children and grandchildren. One of the issues that's back on the table is the gun issue, the Second Amendment. And again, something not discussed too much in American churches, but on the Generations Radio broadcast. So today we're going to talk about the gun issue and the Second Amendment as a very important element of liberty in the Western world. And Jesse Winton joins me now. He's the director of a new film called Targeted, the movie, soon to be released September 29th, showing up in some couple of hundred theaters around America. It's called Targeted, Exposing the Gun Control Agenda. And Jesse Winton now joins me on the Generations broadcast. Jesse, it's good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be here.
Haven't seen you in a little while. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years.
Yeah. Where are you living now?
We're living just outside of Sacramento, California, which is where we've been based for about 4 years now.
Okay.
Since we got off the road. Yep.
Okay. And you've been directing films for a little while. This is a big one for you. It's hitting the theaters. You got to be pretty excited at this point. Young filmmaker, what, 22 years of age? And man, you're hitting the big silver screens. You got to be excited.
I'm incredibly excited. Yeah. The best metaphor I can think of is, you know, it's kind of like having a baby, and to some extent, in that we put, you know, a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of research into crafting something that we felt is, is very important and has a lot to say. And then to actually get an opportunity to be able to present it on as big a scale as at this point we're having, is really kind of a very special thing. We feel very blessed to have this opportunity.
How did you get into all those theaters? What was the trick? Obviously, God.
Yes. So we're working with an organization called Chaos Connect, and they're an independent distribution company that is involved in putting together more limited independent releases like this. And as it stands right now, we're in 246 theaters across the country, quite a few states, and we're working on adding more screens as we speak right now. And, you know, as demand continues to build up and we continue to be able to generate more interest, hopefully in areas where we're currently not screening it, we'll be adding more screens, adding more theaters to be able to give more people an opportunity to be able to see the film.
I noticed you're going to be in Colorado Springs, not too far from us, September 29th.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the film itself. There's just a lot of issues out there. You've got abortion, marriage, taxes, debt, immigration. There's a lot of important issues out there for the 2016 elections. Why did you choose guns?
You know, that's a great question. The founding fathers really talked quite extensively about the importance of an armed population. And they talked about an armed population being important to being able to maintain a democratic society that did not operate under tyranny. And so we picked the gun issue because it's really been one of the most prominent political issues since, you know, even the Clinton administration. It's been in the political forefront for quite a long time, which in my mind speaks very clearly to its importance to the American people, its importance to freedom, its importance to the foundational ideas of who we are as a country and how we were created to be governed. Because, you know, someone was one time asked, if you were given the choice between the First Amendment right to free speech and the Second Amendment, which would you pick? And he answered by saying, I'd pick the Second Amendment, carry a gun, and say whatever I want. And while that's tongue-in-cheek, the idea that's there is that a population that is armed and is able to defend itself from tyranny will be able to maintain freedom in ways that societies that are unarmed or disarmed by their governments are not able to maintain the freedoms that we hold to be incredibly dear in the United States and in our history.
Seems to me that the gun lobby, the freedom lobby in the area of guns, has made more progress than most of the other areas over the last 10 to 15 years. The assault weapons ban was not renewed after 2004. At 9 states now have a may issue concealed carry. 41 states will issue or shall issue concealed carry. That's pretty good. Open carry without permit, 30 states. Open carry with permit, 15 states. That's pretty good. The NRA, the Gun Owners of America, has made a little bit of progress since the 1970s, it seems to me. Have we got a leg up on this one, or are things about to slip? What's your sense of it?
I personally believe that we definitely have a leg up on this. And like I said, a lot of that, I think, has been due to its longevity. For one, it's longevity within the political discussion and political climate of America, but also because of organizations like the NRA and Gun Owners of America, National Association for Gun Rights, we have an incredible platform to be able to educate the American people on the foundational nature of the Second Amendment and the foundational nature of gun ownership. It's something that is really ingrained and innate within the fabric of the American people. And, you know, we see this constantly with the incredible amounts of support for freedom to be able, the right to bear arms. That, you know, that's an incredibly popular opinion in the United States of America. And I don't think it's one that's going away anytime soon because, like I said, because of its innate nature within the fabric of who we are as a people. I don't personally see that that going away completely anytime soon. We're obviously seeing a continual decay of, you know, of foundational American ideals. And a lot of that is due to the, you know, education system, to mainstream media, to the way that freedom is portrayed as being somewhat of a bad thing or something that needs to be brought under the umbrella of government. But, you know, no, I don't believe that we're going to be seeing the Second Amendment die anytime soon.
But tyrants still exist. Tyranny's on the rise. And if Hillary Clinton makes it into the top office of the land, who knows what's going to happen, I guess, at this point. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That's the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You like it?
Do I like it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Why?
Like I said, just reading through the writings of the Founding Fathers, they talked about this idea that gun ownership is in order to be able to keep, as it says in the Second Amendment, to keep the people free, be necessary to the security of a free state. Mm-hmm. This is something, and the Heller decision very much upheld the idea of an individual's right to bear arms. And we understand the Second Amendment to be speaking to the people's right to be able to keep themselves free. You know, you look throughout history at countries that have restricted the ownership of guns, and there is a continual pattern of slides into more tyrannical forms of government. For example, the 1939 Nazi Weapons Act, and we talk about this a little bit in the film, the 1939 Nazi Weapons Act was put into effect around the beginning of Hitler's regime prior to the concentration camps, what we understand to be the Holocaust. But it made it illegal for Jews to own firearms. It made it illegal for them to own ammunition, to, I believe, even own any sort of knife. And within 1 year, the number of people in concentration camps had spiked. This was right before the Jews were put into concentration camps and the Holocaust began. And so it was a piece of the puzzle for the Nazis to be able to enslave this people on a mass scale. It was disarming them because there was no way that they would be able to defend themselves from that tyranny. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's incredibly important that we as Americans remember that this isn't just another, you know, passing issue that isn't all that important in the grand scheme of things. This is one of the foundational freedoms and one of the foundational ideas that made America free was the people's ability to be able to defend themselves from tyranny.
So if Hillary Clinton decided to take 600,000 of American armed forces and turn them into the KGB and then turn them against the people, she might think twice if she considered the fact that 300 million Americans, or at least there are 300 million guns in America and a fair percentage of Americans owns these guns, she'd probably think twice before she turned 600,000 armed forces representatives into KGB representatives. Is that your thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's actually interesting on that note, during World War II, there was a plan the Japanese had talked about trying to invade the United States, but Isoroku Yamamoto spoke about the idea that if we did that, there would be a weapon behind every blade of grass. People that are committed to tyrannizing nations, tyrannizing through government, they understand the fundamental nature of gun rights and gun ownership, and they understand the threat that is posed to them by an armed society and an armed population. So I absolutely think that one of the things that has been able to hold down the types of tyrannies that we might see in the United States of America has been, again, this idea and the deep innate understanding of our ability to defend ourselves and our right to bear arms. I think they're very much interconnected.
Jesse Winton's the director for Targeted, Exposing the Gun Control Agenda, soon to be released September 29th, folks. And, you know, Jesus said in Luke 22, I believe it was, if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. But why? Is he talking about hunting or defending freedom, or is he speaking to a Christian obligation to defend his friends or family from harm? Why is Jesus telling his disciples to sell their cloak and buy a sword?
you know, I think that we have the duty and the responsibility as Christians to defend ourselves. You know, I was talking about this with a friend of mine yesterday. We see in the Old Testament that, you know, God gave the people the right to be able to defend their homes if someone tried to break into their home in the night. They had the right to be able to defend their home as their castle. Mm-hmm. And I believe that self-defense is a fundamental human right. You know, that's something that we talk about a little bit in the film as well, is this idea that the rights that are guaranteed to us in the Bill of Rights for our Constitution, they aren't just, you know, a collection of nice freedoms that the founding fathers came together and thought, you know, ooh, this would be nice to write this down and make sure people have them. These were freedoms that they understood to be given by God and guaranteed as human rights, the right to life, the right to liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those were natural human rights that should not be infringed upon by government. And if we understand them as God-given rights, then we have that understanding that we, you know, need to protect those, and our right to life should be protected, and we have the duty and responsibility as believers to defend ourselves from harm.
Jesse, let me give you a couple of stats here. I pulled these off of NPR. Here they are: 300 million guns in America. Gun manufacturing has almost tripled in 10 years, from 3 million a year to 10 million a year, and gun owning households have dropped from 51% of American households to 31% of American households since 1980. All right, so gun ownership, gun manufacturing is way, way, way up. Gun owning households, the number, the percentage of American households that own guns have dropped from 51% to 31% since 1980. You have any explanation for that?
You know, other than just, you know, the continual injection of anti-freedom, you know, anti-gun ideas into mainstream media, the way that people are educated through the government schools, you know, I don't think there's really a good, you know, single explanation for it, other than just seeing and understanding the continual decline of freedom-minded people in America. And you know, there is a steady rise and increase of people that don't understand the foundational nature of, you know, of freedom in America. I think it's incredibly cultural.
I have to tell you, my book Freedom does not sell very well. People just don't value freedom like they used to. I think it's one of the most exciting stories ever told. I tell the history of Western freedoms all the way back from Bannock Burn and Runnymede and the Magna Carta. Just an incredible story. People have put their lives on the line. They've risked everything for freedom. But hardly anybody considers freedom a value these days. In fact, if you look at the Google search terms, the search terms for freedom, liberty, have dropped off significantly, or even the existence of those words in popular media dropped off significantly over the last 40, 50 years. So yeah, freedom, liberty, not a value. People do not value it. They love the security of the state. They run to the security of the state. And as Samuel Adams said, if you love wealth more than liberty, the tranquility of servitude better than the animating contest of freedom, depart from us in peace. We ask not your counsel nor your arms. May your chains rest lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that you were our countrymen. So Samuel Adams certainly had something better than beer to offer, and they were willing to bleed for freedom. And hardly anybody, of course, today would bleed for freedom. But we're hoping that our listening audience gets excited when they hear interviews like this, that there's actually freedom running in the bloodstream of somebody in America today. It's exciting. I think, you know, as I think of these stats, I think to myself, wow, somebody likes guns because manufacturing and sales way, way, way up, percentage of households down, which means that those people that understand the value of guns continue to pursue it, and they are collecting these guns, and they have access to these guns. So evidently those who believe in freedom, those who see that gun ownership is something of a value are even more committed to it than ever. But of course, the overall percentage of households declining, as you say, probably largely because of the media and education and the fact that freedom is hardly a value anymore. But what do you think is the thing that is most dangerous when it comes to gun regulation? Are you thinking gun registration? Are you thinking gun confiscation? What is the thing that you consider to be most dangerous when it comes to the abrogation of this particular freedom?
Yeah, obviously, gun confiscation, gun registration, all of those things are incredibly dangerous because they are another piece of government overreach that we see. But I don't think I could point to one particular proposed law or proposed bill that I would say is the most dangerous, because I think that as much as the legislation is important, I would say the most dangerous thing that we're dealing with and that we need to combat on this issue and on many issues of freedom today is 100% cultural. I think that people on the left and people on the right are far too willing to make this issue simply a matter of the hardware. You know, we look at when there's a mass shooting or something like that, and legislators and President Obama, they come out and they talk about, if we could just get rid of these guns, the, you know, high capacity assault weapons as they categorize them, if we could get these off the streets, then these tragedies wouldn't happen. And at the same time, people on the right, I think we make the way to fix this issue, we say we could get rid of these mass shootings if we just had more guns. And while I think that's absolutely the more logical approach to the issue, I think that we need to go back to how we think about this issue culturally. You know, it was really interesting. Part of the film, we traveled to Switzerland. In Switzerland, they have mandatory gun ownership. They have a standing militia, essentially, that they have a citizen army. And so that requires mandatory gun ownership. And through several interviews with several experts in Swiss law, we interviewed a congressman in Switzerland, interviewed the heads of what would be the equivalent of the NRA over there in Switzerland. I kind of asked them about that. Like, what do you think about this idea that more guns equals less crime? And they absolutely had no understanding of what I was even trying to say, because culturally for them, there's such an understanding that guns are just a piece of who they are, the fabric of who they are, that they don't think of them as being anything other than just tools to be used. And so in that same vein, we need to go back to the ideological underpinnings of what we think about this issue, because the biggest danger that we're facing against gun rights is purely ideological. That's, I think that's the biggest danger, is this ideology that doesn't simply stop at gun rights. Like you talked about, these people that want to be able to rely on the security of government, mm-hmm. or what's the perceived security of government. They're so ingrained in that culturally and ideologically that it's hard for them to be able to be able to think about it in any other way.
One of the classic statements: guns don't kill people, people kill people. And I think what happens with a modern liberal mindset is we absolve people of personal responsibility for the things that they're doing. And in the end, the civil magistrate doesn't do what the civil magistrate is supposed to do, and that is to punish crime when crime occurs, rather than regulate the living daylights out of innocent people everywhere, which is the way that socialists and liberals do. They punish the innocent citizenry while they are coddling criminals. That's the typical liberal way, and of course, it's based on the wrong anthropology. And that's a sad, sad fact of it. Well, let me just ask you one last question. What's the most compelling element, sure. I think, of the film itself? Is you're inviting people to come out September 29th to see it all around the country. What would you say would be the thing that should draw them into the theaters?
I think that the thing for me that I know for myself is the most compelling, as you know, I learned a lot of this, this material through the making of the film. You know, this wasn't a film that I went into knowing everything I wanted to say. There was quite a bit of discovery, quite a bit of learning for me. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that became the most compelling to me was this idea, like I said, that this isn't just about guns. This is an issue that is incredibly important, but it's important to so many other issues. And this is an issue that is about freedom as a principle. It's not just about the hardware of guns and whether or not we can keep our guns or not. This is about freedom and who we are as America, what has made America great in the past, what we have the opportunity to continue to be, is a free society. And in my opinion, the most important and compelling aspect of the film is we need to get back to the idea that freedom matters and that freedom is important, and that one of the big issues for us is gun ownership. But at the end of the day, it's about freedom. That's the important piece.
And I can say amen to that, having written the book or a book on freedom. And I want to get you a copy of that too, Jesse, because I do think that the gun issue is a very important incarnational application to the principle of freedom. It's one of those key incarnational elements of freedom. And we want to see the Second Amendment promoted and preserved over the years to come from generation on to generation, that we not leave our children and grandchildren in gulags and prison camps. And I think that's pretty much agreed upon by every one of our listeners. Friends, September 29th is the date for Targeted, Exposing the Gun Control Agenda, in hundreds of theaters around the country. Just check it out at targetedthemovie.com to find a theater near you. Targetedthemovie.com. We've been visiting with Jesse Winton, the director of this film. Jesse, thanks for joining us on Generations. We hope to see more of your productions in the years to come.
Thank you, Kevin.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.